It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
This is a game of time, and for her to be getting a whole day and me having literally zero, I feel like she has a major head start on everyone here.
Maybe it was time to shake things up a bit. He was positioning himself over her, raising her hips to meet his. With one hand, she cupped his buttocks. With the other, she reached down to feel him against her thigh.
Ladies, for those of you who do not know, allow me to introduce Ashley I. She actually met her husband on the show, Jared.
You may be wondering why you just heard all that. That's because there's a very important writer, and his name is Chris Harrison.
What was your entrance?
I told him I wanted to make up for lost time, and then I made out with him. So.
That's farther than I've been with him, so.
Brittany interrupted me to make out with Matt. Floor. Slut. Whore. That really pissed me the off. Literally everything was going amazing. Literally. I am the perfect person to be his wife, but then these losers create these problems when everything is fine. I don't want to feel this annoyed, but I am.
Ugh. Hold on. I'm gonna fluff my hair. I forgot who I am for a second. I had a weak bitch moment, but I'm back.
I'm friends with Hannah, and I knew Matt was, like, knew Hannah, but I didn't think anything of it when Hannah brought him up and said, like, you would be a great match. But, like, the more I learned about him, the more I thought, like, it could be a potential match and that I wanted to meet him.
You're just bachelor hopping.
I connect with you in a way that I've never connected with anyone before. And so I do want you to know that, like, after you meeting my family, I knew that I was gonna take my emotions to a whole different level. And I was ready for that. And I can say that I'm falling in love with you, Matt. That makes me so excited. And it's so scary. But it's so genuine and it's so real.
You know, looking back, it's just kind of disappointing because you've seen me come in as this strong, confident, smiley girl. And in the first 24 hours, I was just completely torn down.
Like, how are you going to intentionally do small things to, like, show the other person that you're still thinking of them or that you haven't lost that spark? And
yeah. I hadn't thought about it like that.
Love changes, love wilts, feelings change. Like, don't worry, love ends. I mean, what kind of greeting card is that?
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues, and it's Monday. So you already know what this is going to be. A very special deep dive into something in Bachelor Nation that is going to be fully available on our Patreon. Thank you for joining us. This episode is incredibly important. We are going to be going through the top 10 takeaways from the recently concluded historic season 25 of our beloved game, Matt James's season of The Bachelor. And there were no shortage of things to put in this top 10 list. It became kind of more like a top 15 list. We are going to stick to 10, but we will have some notable honorable mentions at the end of this, as well as our season-long awards to give out to the MVPs of the season, the plays of the season, the Jorge Moreno bystanders of the season, the heirs of the season, and of course, the creatures of the season.
Which one of them strutted their stuff the best? You'll have to wait till the end of the episode to find out.
For me, there was a clear winner. I'll just say that.
I had a clear winner as well. Spoiler alert, there's a clear winner.
But we are now going to begin this examination of Matt James's season. And before we dip into the top 10 takeaways, these are the most important things that came out of this season. We want to set it up a little bit with some context for when this season took place, what the world was like. No season of The Bachelor or Bachelorette exists outside of space or time, even though it can sometimes feel like that. But the historic season 25 was certainly...
Especially if you're Kit Keenan.
Indeed. But the historic season 25 was certainly representative of the time in which it was shot. This is late October 2020 through December 2020. In May of 2020, George Floyd was murdered by Derek Chauvin in Minneapolis while being arrested for allegedly using a counterfeit bill. A horrific video of the murder, which took place over 8 minutes and 46 seconds, sparked immediate national outrage that led to the largest civil rights protests in the country's history, taking place in every major city nationwide, fueled by the Black Lives Matter movement. As we know, The Bachelor is a reflection of our American culture, and as cries for racial equality erupted across the country, Bachelor Nation responded with the Bachelor Diversity Campaign, an online movement that demanded the next Bachelor be Black. With an online petition gaining momentum and a growing number of Instagram followers, the producers and ABC rushed to announce that Matt James would be the next Bachelor on Friday, June 12th. This was 4 months before the upcoming season 16 of Bachelorette would even air its first episode, a season in which James was previously cast as a player. James was largely unknown to Bachelor Nation, except by the devoted fans who followed his social media play with best friend and male Instagram champion Tyler Cameron in the Quarantine Crew social media series. As the summer wound down, racial tension in the country and an ideological divide were being exacerbated by the approaching presidential election in November, which was widely regarded as the most important election in modern history. And due to the COVID pandemic, social media use had increased to unprecedented levels, which elevated everyone's general anxiety, aggression, and adherence to tribalistic views on pretty much any topic that existed. So that is the world as Matt James leaves it all behind to step into the bubble at Nemecolon to start shooting what is arguably the most important season in the history of Bachelor.
He doesn't step into this role without the context, and what unfolded, the extreme levels of controversy, were also in part due to this context.
Certainly everything that was going on in the world at large was reflected in this season, and now we're just going to get into it. We're going to get into our top 10 takeaways from season 25. We are starting with number 10, counting down to number 1, and the number 10 most important takeaway from season 25 was Victoria Larson. She had the strongest and most aggressive villain game we have literally ever seen. Literally. I use that word liberally because she did as well. You see what I did there?
I see it. She had a talent.
Thank you. She never relented in her all-out assault against any player who stood in her way. Both Marilyn Sienna and Sarah Trott fell to Larson's villainous schemes, and she was well rewarded by the producers, who granted her a massive amount of screen time. She seemed willfully oblivious to how rudely her behaviors were being received, especially in the moment when she snatched the tiara off Catalina Morales' head when she entered the game late in full pageant queen tot. We have never seen a villain run like this, and I am not sure that we ever will again.
She took down herself, and she took down so many other players. MJ ended up being taken down as well because she was seen as being an ally to Victoria Larson, as well as bullying the new players. She was an extremely divisive figure and got an very high level of hate online. Not that that's unusual for a Bachelor villain, but...
She also spread out into the kind of peripheral social media world in that video that emerged of Matt James playing golf with some of his friends, and one of his friends body shames her. And that became a whole thing that lived on social media as its own deal, where she then had a comeback where she said, I look good, you look like shit, basically, to the guy who was insulting her. And so she carried this kind of hyper-aggressive tactic even into her social media career.
Yeah, she was able to respond with photos of her with revealed bra straps, because that was something that people were complaining about as well, is that she had a bra strap showing during one of the cocktail parties.
Her villain play was just... It was so strong in terms of adhering to a I will never apologize strategy. We have not seen anything like that. Usually when a villain starts to get called out, they can see the writing is on the wall and they're like, fuck, I gotta pull this back a little. I have to tell the lead like, oh shit, sorry. Or I have to tell a player sorry. Or, you know, it winds up being kind of ascended into a two-on-one type scenario where it would be the producers kind of manufacture a rivalry around whoever the villain is at odds with the most, and then they wind up getting kicked out on a two-on-one or something. But here, she just was 100% foot on the gas, never letting up, and I don't know. I mean, I think it worked for her. I don't know that she comes away from this season with as much clout as she had, with as much attention as she got, if she doesn't do this. It really was a revolutionary villain style.
She has 65.4K, so it's not that great. By the way, she has gone blonde. Update.
Well, sounds like she might be getting ready for a little sand twixt the toes. Like, she has 65K now. She's definitely going to be in paradise. Like, there's no question about that shit. And who knows what she's going to be able to do there, but probably big things, I would imagine. If she brings that same attitude to paradise, can you imagine that shit? People are going to have drinks thrown in their face. People are going to be pushed into the waves by her. Like, I can't wait.
The only thing that makes me think she won't be in paradise is she got such a negative reaction from Bachelor Nation. I don't know if they would stand for it.
Who? The producers?
Bachelor Nation.
Bachelor Nation ain't casting it, though. The producers are like, get her in here. Let's see how much shit she can fuck up. And then, like, what guys are going to date her? I'm just fascinated.
A love story.
Oh my God. She does a full 180. She becomes beloved by Bachelor Nation. She walks away with a ring.
Crystal Nielsen did it. Oh my God. Crystal Nielsen did it. She was a villain and she got sand twixt her toes and boom, she pivoted. She went full on goose mode, got engaged, had the first ever Bachelor Nation divorce, and now is producing Glitter Baby.
Can you imagine Victoria Larson's Glitter Baby?
Yes.
The Queen Baby or the Tiara Baby. I don't know what she would call it, but...
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. I know that we don't yet have all the guys from Katie's season. We haven't seen their play. We only have some of their Instagrams and stuff, but they're going to be in that same pool for Paradise, possibly. But so are all the guys from Clarentasia's season. Who among them do you believe is the the romantic target of Victoria Fuller or Victoria Larson?
I mean, if it were to be a villain, then she would team up with young Noah Erb.
Interesting.
I can see him on sand.
He will. Him and Bennett will be on
sand.
Who
else was a villain?
Bennett.
Oh, yeah, Bennett. Oh, my God. Bennett's going to try to team up with Kit Keenan.
Yeah, I agree.
Although he's twice her age. I don't know if that's true.
God, this season of Paradise is going to be fucking crazy. It's going to be... I can't wait. I just can't wait. Can you... is Hannah Sluss going to be there? We're getting way off topic here. Now, I'm just going into my fantasies about Paradise.
Is this loose? I can't. I have never been more excited for a Bachelor in Paradise season.
I know.
Just because we're just going to get... double the star power because we will have double the seasons leading into it. So we'll only be the most famous people.
And you have this giant break from COVID. So anybody who does come from PP season is going to have this like aura of power, of validity that none of these other players have. Fucking Hannah Sluss and Madison Pruitt, if they show up, have 1. Whatever million Instagram followers. No one on sand comes close to that.
Usually... the newer players seem to have the power in Bachelor in Paradise, you think it'll be the vets, PP's players.
Yes. If it's the big
Interesting.
Ones. I'm talking about top four. I'm talking about Victoria Fuller. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Kelsey Weir. I'm talking about the Sluice. I'm talking about Madison Pruitt. If any of those players show up on sand, it's their beach. They do what they want.
It's Victoria Fuller and they bring in Chris Soules.
If Chris Soules leaves his farm in Iowa to feel the sand twixt toes, I will shit my pants. Not literally. I could. There's no way Chris Soules does it.
Will you run down a field shitting?
Yes. don't give away anything.
I mean, I want former crowns on sand. I want it to be all crowns. I want it to be all stars, baby.
An all crown sand would be fascinating. And they have enough players to do it now. Kufrin on sand, sign me up. Hannah Brown on sand, I guess she has a boyfriend now. Sign me up. I don't think so, because I think once you get the crown, it's like you've ascended to the highest level. And I also don't think that...
We've never seen a crown on sand, have we?
No. I don't think the producers would do it because it taints their own brand.
They want the Bachelor and Bachelorette to be above it.
Yes. You can come from sand to acquire the crown. We've seen that, certainly. But it doesn't go the other way.
Or does it? Can it?
I don't know. Look.
Manifest it.
All right. Don't tell me to do it.
I want some crowns on sand.
If you're a former crown and you're listening to this and you want about 1 million new Instagram followers, go to sand. I've issued the declaration. We'll see if it manifests.
Who else is going to... Okay, well, I just want to talk Paradise. I'm like,
yeah, I know. I'm like, Ivan? So our number 10 thing is Victoria Larson. Also, we're going to talk for 20 minutes about the upcoming season of Paradise.
Yeah. I mean, that conversation is necessitated by invoking Larson.
No, it truly is. And I mean, that's something that you're always watching for in any of these seasons is what players are doing enough to get that invitation to sand. And Victoria Larson, I think, beyond the shadow of a doubt, did enough. She was the most visible and aggressive villain of all time. That gets you to sand, period. Even if you're just kind of a mild villain, you usually wind up on sand.
Right. I mean, we've had night one girls.
I think this may be the first Paradise season with no night one guys, no night one girls. Just because they have so a rich pool of players from which they can pool. I mean, you're looking at four seasons. You could arguably go top six only from each of those seasons. And that's your Paradise. That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
I mean, some of those players are going to be in relationships or not want to do it, maybe.
Kelsey Weir? Yeah, girl?
If I get some Kelsey Weir, who jews upon sand... I mean, this could be the best season. I think it's going to be the best season of Paradise that's ever existed. I truly believe that. And there have been some really good recent seasons. I mean, not recent, but like the most recent seasons have been incredible. What players are doing on sand now, or what they did in VIP 6, 5 and 6 really, is where it like kicked up a fucking notch. When they started calling each other by their Instagram names. Oh, it's Dini Babies. They understood what they were there for. Now, that shit is going to be...
What if we have a Dini Baby's wedding on sand?
I watch it.
I mean, they've had weddings on Bachelor in Paradise the last couple seasons.
Yes.
Who can it be this season? Clail?
When is Glitter Baby due?
Raven and Adam?
June? Do you think Crystal comes to deliver Glitter Baby in Paradise?
No, because I think that signifies failure. They want franchise couples.
Yeah.
So Raven and Adam, or Kevin and Astrid.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows what this Paradise will bring? Okay. So let's get back to the top 10 list now. Now we're moving on to the number 9 most important thing that we took away from Historic Season 25. This is something we have never seen in the history of the game. 25 seasons, March 25th, 2002 to today, we have never seen anything like what number 9 was. We have seen producer manipulation in every season. We have seen them try to destroy people's lives, but we have never seen anything like this. The number 9 most important takeaway from season 25 is you're gonna wanna listen to the rest of this episode because it's almost 2 hours long, and we cover, obviously, all of the most important stuff that happened this season, as well as give you our plays of the season, our errors of the season, our Jorge Moreno bystanders of the season, our MVPs of the season, and possibly most importantly, our creatures of the season.
So if you would like to listen to one of the greatest episodes that we've ever recorded, go to patreon.com/gameofroses to hear the rest of this episode. That's patreon.com/gameofroses.
And I found a bunch of other treasures this week in the pit that you will also have access to. I found a video that contains every Hooju from season 25 ranked and rated. And I also found a weird video that's a behind the scenes look at how I make memes. Those were just laying in the bottom of the pit. And now they're there for everyone to see.
That's amazing.
That's how we find all the stuff in the bottom of the pit. It's just there. We unearth it and then we put it on the Patreon so everyone can see it. So please join us in the bottom of the pit.
It's the pit. You can get it in and dig around in all this content. It's the pit. Come on, admit you wanna eat up all these tasty tidbits. It's the pit. There's room enough to fit everyone who wants to come in. It's the pit. You can get it in and dig around in all this content. It's the pit. Come on, admit you wanna eat up all these tasty tidbits. It's the pit. There's room enough to fit everyone who wants to come in. It's the pit.